We've done this throughout the summer, that we're not going to stay on the same topic all day long. So we have changed that a little bit. It may come back sometime. I know a number of people have been talking to me a little bit about the devotions, how much has been an encouragement to them. So we might try to figure out a way to help with that for those that are interested. But here in Genesis chapter number 12, we're going to look at this thought, leaving the place of blessing, leaving the place of blessing. So our theme this year is the word blessed. And it talks about how God blesses individuals and God blesses in certain ways and certain times. And I cannot fathom a person who had a greater blessing that was given to them than here what's been given to Abram. And we talked a little bit about this in Children's Church. We're going back through. We had taught them all about Jesus last year. And this year we're bringing them back and starting from the beginning and going through the Old Testament. And once again, a lot of them get to hear these things for the first time, talking about the flood. Sometimes their eyes kind of light up and think, wow, all those people died and except for those. And so today we talked about Abram, how Abram was called to go to a land. And that's what we're going to look at this morning a little bit, about leaving the place of blessing. We want to be in a spot where God can bless. The reality is we need God's blessings. And we've already looked at it this year a number of different places. We've gone through the Beatitudes. We've preached different messages and saying, this is the life that can be blessed. So we thought this idea of blessings in three different ways. Number one, we talked about how we are blessed. And that's what most people think. You see that word blessed, or you see shirts or signs. They're talking about all the many blessings that God has provided them physically. And boy, aren't we thankful for those blessings? I know I am. There's a lot of blessings. Sometimes I look around and see all the things we have, all the things that we have available to us, and we are blessed physically. Then there's also the thought, and sometime in the future this year, we're going to look at the spiritual blessings we have. God talks about how he's given us all the spiritual blessings, and that's in Ephesians. We're going to look at that sometime this year, probably around Thanksgiving. And then the life that God can bless. And each of those things are found in the Word of God with this different, with using the word blessed. Yes, physically blessed, the spiritual blessings. And God says there is a life that he will bless. And he calls Abram to go to a land that he did not know where it was going to be, but he offers Abram some wonderful blessings. We keep on using the word Abram. He said, well, who's that? Well, it's Abraham, but his name Abram was the name at the beginning. So let's look here in Genesis chapter number 12. We're going to do a little bit of a Bible study today about this wonderful story, and think about this for a minute about leaving the place of blessing. It says in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. There is three different promises that are made here to Abram. At least I break it down into three different promises in verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse number 1, it was, I'm going to show you where I want you to live. The reality is God will show us what he wants us to do. If we're going to be living in that blessed spot, if we will walk by faith and we'll put our faith and trust in him, he has promised us that if we don't lean to our own understandings, right? That's what he says. Lean not unto thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He's promised you, I will tell you where you need to go. And sometimes it is a challenge because we don't know where that is. Sometimes that's what faith is walking without knowing and taking that step. So he says, I am calling you to a land. I remember when we went through the book of Genesis, we predicted that. We said that was kind of the Ur of the Chaldees where he was called out of. And so he's there. God says, I want you to come and I want you to go. I want you to leave behind all your family. And once you leave behind, obviously, I think he was supposed to take his wife, right? You're supposed to take your wife. Leave behind your family, leave behind your friends, leave behind your work, leave behind your memories. Can you imagine at 75 years old, God telling you, I want you to get up and I want you to move? And that's a challenging thing. 75 years old, he gets up and he moves. Look at some more of the, and look, he says in verse number 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, so we see here that there's a promise. Abram, if you listen, if you follow me, I will bless you. And look at the different things. And I kind of put all these together, you know, in this thought. It says, I will make thee of a great nation. I will bless thee and thy name and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So not only is he saying, I'm going to bless you as a nation, but also I'm going to make you a blessing to others that are around you. If you look back in chapter number 11 and verse number 30, there's a problem. Sarai was barren. She had no child. So here's the thing, is God is saying, I want you to trust me, Abram. I want you to leave where you're at. I want you to leave behind your family, your work, your friends, all your memories. I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you, and I want you to bring Sarai, and I'm going to make you a great nation. But he has no children. So God is asking him to do something, and God is making him a promise that he has to live by faith. He has to trust God and willing to do that. God actually takes the promise a step farther. Look what it says in verse number 3. Look at what he says. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I don't know what other greater promise. He says that through you and through your life, all the families of the earth is going to be blessed. We told the young people today, because once again, they're learning these things for the first time, that most of those first 11 chapters are talking about multiple families, talking about all mankind. Obviously, Adam and Eve was all mankind, and talking about the flood, all mankind was affected. Talking about the Tower of Babel, everything was kind of dealt with as mankind. Now it's being focused down to one individual. They're calling Abram out, and with this one individual and with this one family, he's saying, I'm going to make thee a great nation. I'm going to make thee a blessing. And I love that at the end of verse number 3. It says, all families of the earth, thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we all know that to be, at least what I believe it is, talking about how Christ is going to come through the line. The focus starts with Abram here and how Jesus is going to come through Abram. And then obviously it goes through the 12 tribes and goes through all the nation of Israel and then goes through their captivity. And then it goes all the way till Jesus Christ comes. So he makes him a promise that is amazing. He says, I'm going to bless you more than you could ever imagine. There's one preacher out there I know that has said this before. I've listened to this guy a number of times speak or write and different things like that. He says, have you ever prayed that you would be make your family a worldwide blessing? I'm thinking, wow, that's what Abram was, a worldwide blessing. He said, well, God doesn't intend that for me. Now, have you ever prayed that God would use you to be a blessing to someone else? Don't limit God. Whatever what God wants. God could make you a worldwide blessing by calling somebody from your family to go reach the world, or maybe by writing or by giving to missions. You know, you can be a worldwide blessing. Don't limit to what God can do. And Abram here, he has the opportunity to be blessed beyond measure. There is a place of blessing. And God's saying, Abram, you leave, you come, you follow after me, and I will bless you. I will make this place and make you a blessing and make you a blessing. Blessing to all nations. He says, those that, as it says in verse number 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. So some great promises there. Now, here's a couple things. Backdrop, backstory. Why would God tell Abram to leave his country and his family? And let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, if you like to. Some people are wondering, some people say, well, why in the world would God ask Abram to leave his nation? Why couldn't he just stay there and let God make him a blessing there? In Joshua chapter number 24, we have Joshua speaking to the people. He gives his last charge to Israel before his death. He's there, and it's that famous one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and all those different things. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods was their response. But in giving this speech, he says in verse number 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So he says, I want you to leave this place in the era of the Chaldees. It was a very wicked place. It was known for being very, of that day, very modern, known for being cutting edge. It was a place where it would have been known as the civilization that are there. I was reading through some of the commentaries. One guy says there might even have been a bathtub in some of those houses because some of the things that they had taken and they had unearthed. And would have been a place that would have been a city that would have been. And he's calling him to go to the land of Canaan, and the idea that he's going to a very primitive area. So it wasn't that God was taking him somewhere and saying, hey, this is going to be a better city for you. No, he says, I want you to go somewhere you've never been. It's not going to be as luxurious. It's not going to have as much stuff. He does receive a lot of stuff throughout the years, but at the same time, it's going to make you a blessing. So God has a plan for Abram's life. God is going to use Abram. God's going to use his family. It's going to be a worldwide blessing. But God must get Abram to a spot where he can bless him. God must get him to a spot that he gets rid of the idols. He gets away from those that are influencing him to do wrong. God wanted Abram to be away from the idolatry. And God makes him these amazing promises. And it's an important thing to remember. Abram's got to trust him. Even though Sarai doesn't have children, he still says, I'm going to make thee a great nation. How's that going to happen without children? He's going to have to trust the Lord. So Abram listens to God, but only part of the way to begin with. Go ahead and take your Bibles now to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we learn that Abram leaves, but as Abram leaves, he takes his father with him and also his nephew with him. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7, we have Stephen here, and Stephen is preaching one of the greatest messages in all the Bible. It's fantastic. He's there, and he's there, and they're condemning him to die. They had just crucified Jesus not that long ago, and they're asking him, and they're doing everything they can to get him to respond right. But then when they look at him, it's like it's the face of an angel. It's amazing his reaction, his response. And what does he do? He gets out there and he preaches a message to them. And here inside of this, it opens up a little bit of our understanding about what Abram does with his calling. Acts chapter number 7, look what it says, verses 2-4. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now, here he is in the Ur of the Chaldees there in Mesopotamia, and he appears to him. So we see here in Genesis 12, verse number 1, it just says that he said unto Abram. But here in chapter 7, we see that he actually appears. Obviously, he can say and appear at the same time. Verse number 3, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. We know that already. So look at the response of what he does. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So what happens is Abram leaves the land, but he takes his father with him. He wasn't supposed to take his family with him. So while he's there, he is waiting, and his father passes away. So we see obedience, but we don't see complete obedience. And sometimes people will say, if it's not complete obedience, it's disobedience. So it's important to understand, we're talking about leaving the place of blessing. One of the ways you leave the place of blessing is when you only obey God part of the way. We need to trust him with all our heart. We need to lean on to thy own understandings of all thy heart, trust in him. And so Abram's here, and Abram takes his father. His father dies, and then he now moves to the land he was supposed to go. And in verse number 4, he's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to the people in the council. Stephen is speaking here, and he says, so wherein ye now dwell, saying that in this land where God had told him, the land of Canaan, he says, I want you to come out, and I want you to be here. But he had that spot there. It's Haran, Charan, depending on whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament. And his father dies. And so he now makes it to where he's supposed to be. So go back to Genesis chapter number 12. Something happens in Genesis 12 that we don't see happening in Haran. What happens is the Lord God appears to him again. So what's the point there? Remember, in his limited obedience or in his disobedience about taking his father, we don't have the image that God is appearing to him there, that God is teaching him, that God is directing him. Instead, inside of his halfway obedience, he is not communicating or communing with the Lord that we see and hear. And doesn't that happen in our lives? You think about it. We obey God this much. We come up. It's sort of like Saul when he killed almost all the Amorites and almost all the animals. 95-98% he did to God's will. And God says, you didn't do my will. He says, well, I did. And he's like, well, what about those sheep? What about the king? We got to learn that he expects us to obey him in all ways, in all things. And so you go back to verse number 12. It says in verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance and that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go out into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And it says in verse number 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So who was there? It was the descendants of Ham that was there. It was the Canaanites. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. When did he appear unto Abram? When he obeyed. He speaks to him again when he obeys. When were we communing with God? We're communing with God when we obey. He said, well, this guy left his own land. He traveled hundreds of miles. He made it to Haran. You're giving him a hard time just because he's there with his father. I'm not giving him a hard time. I'm saying I know it makes sense that he would have taken his father with him so he could help care for him. But that's not what God told him to do. God told him, hey, I want you to obey. And we see here that he is now obeying and he is in the land where he's supposed to be. And what happens? The Lord appears unto Abram. And what does he do? And he makes him another promise or a similar promise and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the land who appeared unto him. So he makes him a promise. This land that you're at, that you see, he's going to extend that promise later on, at least give it a better understanding of how big the land is. He says, I'm going to give you this land. So not only does he say, I'm going to show you where your land is, not only is I'm going to make you a great nation and make you a blessing to all people, I'm also going to give you this land. I mean, promise after promise after promise, it is a place of blessing. And he continues on in verse number 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain, was east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So we see him continuing on, and he is, while he stops, he builds an altar, communing with the Lord. Why is he? We don't see him communing with the Lord in Haran. We see him communing with the Lord in the land where he's supposed to be. If you want to be in the place of blessing, you've got to be obeying the Lord. It's not halfway obedience. It's not, hey, I'm going to do the things I want to do. It's, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do the things that make sense. No, the place of blessing. Don't miss that place of blessing. We looked at so many things this year already about the word blessed. We looked, blessed is the man. And you think about in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that trusteth the Lord. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is the meek. We've gone over so many things. Do not leave the place of blessing. We know what we're supposed to do, but he was not. And so God begins to bless him. Now look in verse number 9. It says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now we see him. Where is he leaving? We got Canaan here, where he's supposed to be at, where he's communing with God, where God has promised him tons of things, great blessings, right here in Canaan. But instead, he travels down to Egypt because of a famine. So there's a problem here. What's the problem? He's leaving the place of blessing. Over there in Haran, he wasn't being blessed. We don't see him communing with God. We don't see God appearing with him. We don't hear about the altar being built. We hear him there with his father. Over here in Egypt, we see that he's leaving the place of blessing, leaving what God intended for him, where God has promised to bless him, to now head down to Egypt because there's a problem. There's a famine. Now, he said, well, that kind of makes some sense. You know, if there's not food, he can always go back to Canaan. Well, we need to learn to trust God in the place where he blesses us. Because if it's a place of blessing, means the devil is going to try to do whatever he can to destroy it. He's going to fight you. He's going to battle you. Remember, everything that God wants to bless, the devil wants to destroy. Everything that God is working and God is pleased with, the devil hates. So it is a continual battle. Here he's getting blessed, and we see a famine that's happening. And it says, and it came to pass when he was come near unto enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Now here's the story. Why is he leaving his land? Why is he leaving the place where God told him he should be at? He's concerned he cannot feed his family. I'm assuming it's a family. He cannot feed his cattle, maybe. He cannot feed all the men servants and the maid servants and all the different animals he has. But he's willing. You think about this. He knows this ahead of time. He knows how the Egyptians are. And it came to pass when he was come near into Egypt. This is something he had been thinking about. This is not something that he found out this was new and someone told him that. He hasn't even arrived to Egypt yet. As he come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai's wife, behold, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He looks at her and says, hey, you're beautiful. And I think that's nice. Husbands should tell their wives that they look nice and they look beautiful and things like that. And it says, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So he's so worried about his family, but he's willing to offer up his wife. You think about that. He's leaving the place of blessing, and he's beginning to come up with his own thinking, his own reasoning. His own reasoning was, I can't trust God here in Canaan. I have to get to Egypt. And when I go down to Egypt, you know what they're going to do? They're going to see how pretty Sarai is, and they're going to take and they're going to kill me, and they're going to give Sarai to Pharaoh. He was willing to do that. He was willing to leave the place of blessing. Has already been promised what? I'm going to make you a great nation. He doesn't have any children. Well, obviously, he tells Sarai is going. We know that Sarai is going to be the woman he goes through. And obviously, we had the problem with Hagar was another leaving the place of blessing. So he's there and he is willing to. And I don't know about you ladies. If you're there, your husband says, man, you look really nice. You look really beautiful. And sometimes, ladies, you're thinking in the back of your mind, OK, he's telling me I look pretty today. What does he want? Or what does he want me to say? What does he want me to do? Because he's buttering me up for something. And then he says, hey, do you mind telling somebody that you're my sister so that way they can make you Pharaoh's wife? I mean, how would you ladies respond? I'd be like, I don't think so. It's if you think about it from this context, there's a place of blessing over here that is the promises of God. Once you step out of that, the thinking starts changing. No longer can you, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. No longer can you, if you're not trusting him in thy own heart, it begins to become our own physical reasoning, our own thinking, and we begin to think crazy things. It's okay for me to go down to Egypt because I need food, but it might mean I lose my wife, that God's promised she's going to make me a great nation out of. The thinking's off. And many times when we stop and we only start to obey part of the way, we begin to allow leaving the place of blessing because there is halfway obedience or because we don't trust God to take care of the things he has promised in the blessing, in the place of blessing. We leave that place of blessing saying, God's not going to be able to take care of me. God's not going to be able to keep his promises. God's not going to be, how is he going to make him a great nation if he dies of starvation? He says, look, God gave me a promise. He told me he wants me here. This is where I should stay. But no, he's willing to. And now he even comes to Sarai. He says, hey, Sarai, they're going to see how pretty you are, and they're going to say that, hey, let's kill this old guy, the 75-year-old guy, and take the 65-year-old woman to become Pharaoh's wife. And that's exactly what happens, is that he tells them that her sisters. We read in the story, he says, verse 13, say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So we see here, God protects Sarai. Praise the Lord for that. And even though sometimes when we do something stupid and we get out of God's place of blessing, God can still protect us. And sometimes he does that. Other times he allows us to do something dumb and bad things happen too. So what happens here, God protects. And then you continue on. It says in Pharaoh, who does not believe in the one true God, and is talking to the man who does believe in the one true God. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife. And therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. He's like, look, there's your wife. Take her, get out of here. This is just wrong. And it's amazing. What happened? Why did it happen? It began when he said, I'm going to leave the place of blessing. You know, we went through and we can look at and go back over many of the verses we already looked at this year. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Jeremiah, it says in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Psalms 32:1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. You know, there are all these things over and over. This is saying, God is saying, this is where I will bless you. This is where you receive the place of blessing. And what we do sometimes is we, like Abram over here, not communing, God not meeting because he did halfway obedience. Or we stop trusting him like he did when he went down to Egypt. And we begin to sit there and say, I don't think God can take care of me in the place of blessings. I know all the promises that are there. I know what it says, blessed is the poor in spirit. And I know there's a promise that goes along with blessed is the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed is those that mourn, for they shall be, you know, there's all those different. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He gives us promise after promise after promise for the blessings. But the problem is we don't think God's going to take care of us the right way. So we don't live that life. Instead, we go down to Egypt, which oftentimes pictures the world in the Bible, and we get what we think we need from Egypt, but our thinking and our reasoning is always off. It's always wrong. We're willing to sacrifice something that is precious to us, whether it's our mates, or whether it's our children, or whether it's our church family, or extended family, or our values, other things like that. We're willing to sacrifice it because of the fact that we don't trust God to help us in the place of blessing. One of the stories I even thought about talking about a little bit more was the idea of the story of Ruth. We think about in Ruth chapter number 1, what does it say? Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled there that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And many of you know how the story turns out. The man dies, the two sons die, they leave Bethlehem, which is the place of bread, the place of blessing. Jesus Christ was going to be born there how many hundreds of years later? But they left to go to Moab. They left the place of blessing. I want to encourage you today. Find that place of blessing in the Bible. Learn what the Word of God says. I think most of us in this room would say, either I'm all the way right with God, or I'm over here somewhere. I don't mind obeying God, the things I think I should, things I need to obey. But there are certain reasons in my mind that I come out and think, I don't really need to do that. That's a little too extreme. Leaving Dad behind, that would be wrong. Going all the way to Canaan with an older man, that would definitely be wrong. Let's just wait here. And we're sitting in a holding in a pattern, hoping someday to get to the place of blessing, just hoping that God will just kind of work in my heart and work in my life right now. And I'll just be happy here. And someday I'm going to make it there. Someday I desire to go there, but I'm not willing to follow completely. But what's not happening here is the communing with God. We don't see God appearing to him. He gets to the place of blessing. What happens? God's there. Then there's probably some of us, maybe both things are true, only halfway obedience because of the fact that we don't feel like God can really take care of me. Now, we would never say that, right? I mean, we would never come out and say, I don't think God can provide this need unless I, and then we say, well, maybe I won't give, or maybe I won't tithe, or maybe I won't expect certain things from these relationships, whether it's with my husband or my wife or with my children or people in the church family. There's certain expectations. I don't want to take that step because I don't think God can take care of this blessed. And when he says blessed are the poor in spirit, it means that I'm supposed to lay myself down and consider myself completely humble, and that God is the one that lifts me up, that God's the one that raises me up. And we could go down all those different beatitudes when it talks about when we face persecution, all those different things. I can't trust him there. I can't trust him when someone mocks me. I can't trust me when someone persecutes me. No, he tells you over and over, yes, if you mourn, if you're meek, if you're merciful, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you're poor in spirit, he says, that's the place of blessing. Don't leave the place of blessing. Learn where the place of blessing is and stay right there. But we feel like if we do things God's way and we become that meek, poor in spirit, mourning, hunger and thirsting after righteousness, merciful person, somebody's going to take advantage of me. I don't see how God can work this way. So we step out of God's place of blessing and we head on down to Egypt because it makes a lot more sense. And now I'm good with certain portions of it, God. Just don't make me obey all of it. And so we see Abram, who I don't know, maybe you can think of somebody that was blessed more in the Bible or has greater promises. But when I sit there and I read this, thinking that he's going to be in the line of Christ and shall all the families of the earth be blessed, I'm thinking, man, that is that covenant. That is amazing. Let me hurry up and get to Canaan land. But then I consider all the different blessings he's promised us, all the promises he's made us. all the different things that he has told us that he will supply our needs, and that he, if we ask, he'll fill us with his Spirit. And I mean, there's blessing after blessing. If we go bearing precious seed, you know what we're going to do? If we're going to see people saved. I mean, over and over we see, if we train up a child in the way he should go. I mean, we see promise after promise after promise in the Bible. And it's when we're in that place of blessing. We all want the blessings. We all want the promises. We all want the things that God said he can and will provide. But the question is, are we living the blessed life? And I'm not talking about finances. I mean, that's ridiculous when people are saying it, that health and wealth, prosperity gospel. I mean, you go back and you look at New Testament preachers that wrote the Word of God. They weren't health and wealth. They were persecuted, and they were sick and many times facing peril and didn't have anything. And they were taking offerings to go provide for other people and things like that. That's ridiculous for them to think that way. But the blessings that God can provide are blessings that cannot be bought. The peace of God, the joy of God, watching your child love the Lord with all their heart. There's nothing, it's something that you see and you watch in certain people's lives and you're like, man, that's a blessing. You know, being able to make a difference in someone's life. I mean, there is blessings when you're in that place, a blessing. Don't remove it. Story about Ruth's in-laws there and how they came and they went to Moab and how they face death and they face all these other things, and that Ruth came back and was such a great blessing to Naomi and all those different things. But what did they do? They left the house of bread, seeking bread, but they came back empty because there was nothing there for them to find. Abram leaves and to find that bread or to find that food. And he says, I can't trust God in the place of blessing. Let me go there. And many times people think that he picked up things in Egypt that would end up harming his family. Now, there's a question you could have. Should Lot ever gone? He says, leave your family. Now, was Abram taking care of Lot, looked at him more of a son type thing? We don't really know. At the same time, Lot looked at it. Remember when we looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, what did it remind him of? The things he saw in Egypt. You can think that, hey, if we can go down to Egypt, it's not going to bother for a little while. But trying to get Egypt out of your heart is a really hard thing to do. Some Bible commentators or scholars think that maybe they found Hagar in Egypt. Might have been one of the maidservants that was given to him on behalf of what happened with Sarai. We don't know. Some people think that maybe even Lot's wife maybe came from there. Those are all speculation. Some people think Lot's wife came from Sodom. You know, all those different, doesn't really matter. But you go down to Egypt, you let your family experience a little bit of Egypt, it might not hurt you as much as you think, but it could definitely hurt them. Be careful what you allow in your homes. Be careful what you allow around your mates and around your children and your grandchildren. Oh, that stuff doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me at all. Once again, Abram let Lot make the choice. But when Lot looked, it reminded him of Egypt. In that world, there's nothing that's there for a believer. The place of blessing, that place of blessing, is where God has promised you he will take care of you. Be careful about leaving the place of blessing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord,